Thank you very much, all for joining us today. We welcome you to our webinar session on open science for discoverability on African research. My name is Arthur Mwamonda, project coordinator at Africa Archive. So I'll just give a brief introduction on Africa Archive. Africa Archive is a community-led digital archive for African research communication by enhancing the visibility and the collaboration opportunities for Africa. Today, we welcome our speaker, Emmanuel Boakye, from the African Reproducibility Network, ARIN, who will be speaking on the topic building gateways to open science in Africa. But before we listen to what he has for us today, here is a little about him. Emmanuel Boakye holds a Bachelor of Science degree in biochemistry from the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology, Ghana. He's an African open science champion who has worked with organizations such as Center for Open Science in the USA and the Association of African Universities, AAU. He was also part of the panel of experts invited by the AAU to plan the 2020 Open Science Bridging Equity presented on the global and continental perspectives of open science. He currently leads efforts to establish the African Reproducibility Network, ARIN, a community-led initiative that seeks to bridge the gaps in open science and advocacy and adoption through the workshops and establishment of local communities of practice at universities and research institutes across Africa. Once again, thank you all for joining us today. And now it's over to our speaker, Emmanuel Boakye. It's over to you, Emmanuel. Thanks.
So thank you very much, Arthur. I'm glad to be here to talk about ARIN. As I was saying, ARIN was just launched last year in November, and we had such a wonderful response. So we're excited about what we can do and what we plan to do in Africa. Hopefully, this progresses quite nicely. So to begin, I think we have to understand why ARIN was first established in the first place and our motivations for starting ARIN and why we think what we have to do is important. So I think last year, NASA launched that 2023 was the year of open science. That was a major movement for the role of open science globally, because organizations such as that taking major recognition in open science was a wonderful thing to hear. And then you can see UNESCO has also invested heavily in open science recently, coming up with the recommendations for open science, which is seen as a global framework for adopting open science globally. So you can see that there are major movements across the world when it comes to open science with a government like European government welcoming and accepting proposals to establish reproducible networks across Europe. So we are hoping that our efforts will ensure Africa is not found behind. Because most of the time, what we realize is that there are major movements across other parts of the world, but that is not the same going on here. The interesting thing is that Africa has had some wonderful organizations already operating in this domain. We can talk about LipSync, that have had a lot of high-level meetings and organizations, ensuring that discussions on how to establish policies and data various stakeholders in implementing open science are done. And then we have TC Africa organizing regional workshops and et cetera. And then our African Open Science Platform, ASOP, trying to solve that infrastructure problem for open science. And Africa also doing so splendidly in the area of African open science hardware. But we realize that the real end users of open science principles and infrastructure that are the researchers are kind of not fully engaged as we hope they should be. If you have discussions with researchers across Africa, you realize that they all have different perceptions about open science, what they think open science is. And many of them may not have even heard about open science, which was an experience I had when I first came across open science. It was throughout my undergraduate education. I never really heard about it. I only came to know about open science when I did an online course and then I got interested in it. So it's not something that is commonly taught in our circles, right? And we don't talk about open science very often in our circles and universities and research institutes. And we think that has to change because open science is here to stay with us. And the global movement show that there is an increasing need for researchers to adopt the open science principles and concepts. But our researchers here are not really equipped or well trained to meet this growing demand, right? So that problem has to be solved. And that is what Aaron is trying to work on right now by starting a training program that will help establish electronic weekly, start the electronic checks across Africa. And what they'll do is that they'll be leading engagement efforts at the various institutions, such as training or workshops and discussions, and then support the institutions or the researchers' communities that are there. And the interesting thing about it is that it helps establish that interlinked connection between various institutes across Africa. And we know that the situations at certain institutions in different in other parts of the same country, the same continent. So having this local community spread across Africa would help us know how we can tailor solutions in terms of open science to the local communities, because there is no one-size-fits-all approach to open science, right? The concepts or principles or approaches that may work in UK or Europe or even in Ghana may not be the same that may work in Nigeria, because the systems may be different. And even in the same country, the different institutions have different policies that guide how researchers are supposed to conduct themselves. So the principles and approaches may have to be different. So the idea of having this local network kind of brings into this this approach that helps to acknowledge the fact that differences exist. So we need different ideas and perspectives to approach this. So that is what Aaron has been trying to do. And our major initiative, what we are focusing on right now, is the training program. So when we were designing the training program, we really had to think about how we can ensure that everyone across Africa benefits, whether they are new to open source. We had to come up with this training model where we have these three different levels. And the first one is an introductory level where we just introduce them to the various parts of open science so that everyone that joins the training program can know the various parts of open science. And then you have the second level where we talk about how they can learn what a practical aspect of open science. Let's say if I want to publish a preprint, what are the preprint servers that are there? How can I upload my article on a preprint server? So these are stuff that will be engaging the local communities where they learn practically how to practice this open science principle, because there are already a lot of infrastructure out there, a lot of tools out there that they can use that they may not be aware of. And there may also be other aspects of open science that may not be aware of. In our initial community survey, we asked our community members what they knew about open science, and we realized that the majority knew about open data, majority knew about open access. But when you talk about reproducible research and other aspects of open science, like pre-registration, registered reports, they were not really familiar. Some of them we don't even know at all, which shows that the general knowledge about open science is limited. And this is also true because for open data and open access, most of the times when researchers are publishing, the journals make it a requirement, right, that you submit your data and researchers should know about it. But there may be other aspects of open science they don't know. So we try to integrate this into our training program and ensure that they learn as much as they can. And this is also because the idea is not just teach them, but also teach them to become trainers too. So we want them to be well versed in the various aspects of open science, have enough knowledge to be able to also help their local communities. We do know and acknowledge that this is not going to be easy peasy, right? Because generally, if I am a researcher in Africa or any part of the world, and I have been a researcher for a number of years, right? Let's say I've been a researcher for 10 years, and in my career, I've not actually been practicing open science principles. I mean, this is not something I've been doing. I've not been publishing articles on a preprint server. I've not concerned myself with producible research or applicability. I've not really concerned myself with pre-registration or registered reports, and etc. But I still have a successful career. It doesn't affect my promotion when I apply for funds. That doesn't affect me getting the funds or grants. So then why would open science become something that is important? Do I need to adopt these principles? So that's a major challenge that it better exists, because the perception about open science generally by researchers is not so good. And this is because it has not been clearly explained across them to how important it is. And it has not also been made a requirement, or it has not been made rewarded, right? Very no said. proposing this pyramid for achieving holistic cultural change. So these are some of the problems that exist. So we need to find solutions to them. And that is why we are trying to come up with this training program that kind of clears all these misconceptions and ensures that they learn the benefits, and then having these local committees that exist that make the whole thing amazing. Because if I find myself in a research institution or community where I have various researchers practicing open science principles, then I'll be encouraged to do the same. But if there's a situation where I am not doing it and others are not doing it, or I'm doing it and others are not doing it and it's not affecting them, why do I have to add all these other extra staff? Or I see them as extra work to my research workflow. So we are hoping that we can clear that and help researchers kind of become receptive to open science principles and concepts, and then buy into the idea of the fact that it's here to stay. The open science is here to stay with us, so they need to find a way to adopt that. And then one other challenge that we think we may face is how we may get people to lead the local communities. When you look across Africa, there are countries where there are a lot of open science activities. Right? If you talk about Ghana, you talk about Nigeria, South Africa, Kenya, Uganda, and other parts of Africa, that there's a lot of high level of open science activity, but this cannot be said of other countries, or four countries, and not all of them have the same level of open science activity. So you may have countries with experts, you may have institutions with experts, but the majority don't have experts, or the majority are not really pushing a lot into ensuring that their researchers there like practice open science. So getting people or experts to kind of lead local communities across Africa was a bit difficult. And we are hoping that our training program kind of solves this problem, because we have opened it to everyone across Africa, regardless of your discipline, regardless of your specialization, regardless of your background and knowledge in open science. And we are hoping that as we take them through the training after a period, they can also support their local communities while they're leading bringing efforts to you. So that is one of the things we are trying to solve. And then the other problem is that even if you have local communities there, we have experts or local district leads there that are leading engagement efforts. The institution is not supporting them, it can be a bit difficult, because when there is institutional support, it kind of adds credibility to the activities of the local network. Right? But when it's lacking, that can also be problematic. So we are trying to see how we can solve this by establishing strategic connections with the major stakeholders in Africa, like AAU, India, and the African Academy of Sciences, organizations that we think are major stakeholders in the African higher education system and ecosystem. So if you have these organizations endorsing what IOM is trying to do and promoting what we are trying to do, we encourage researchers and universities across the continent to support our efforts and also help support the communities that are established there. So we are hoping that we can go out first this by solving this problem this way. We also need to acknowledge the fact that open science has various branches and aspects, right? And this may not necessarily be tailored to specific disciplines, and that can make it a bit abstract. If I'm a researcher in the biological sciences, I would want to know exactly how open science bridges into my field or aligns with my field. So we have in this specific open science communities at first of all, like SOTI, the Society for Open with Reusable and Transparent Ecology and Evolution, who we are having discussions with now as to how we can adopt what they are doing, that researchers within Africa can also know that there's actually a way you can merge your specialization with open science. And in our initial survey with our community, too, we did ask them if the community members would be interested in starting niche specific open science communities. That is, let's say if I'm a biochemist, I'm going to start a biochemistry open science community where I look at the various aspects of biochemistry research and then how we can make it more open, like open reagents, open protocols, and et cetera, that we can share across the community, whether in the same institution or across Africa or let's say across the world. So these are niche specific open science communities that doesn't make open science so abstract, but kind of brings it to what researchers are doing so that they can really relate to the importance and how it's integrated to everything we are trying to do. So this is one of the things that we're also trying to bring in to ensure that our activities collaboratively kind of come together to help grassroots researchers, our focus on grassroots researchers, accept the fact that open science is good, provided we approach it well, we learn it well, we adapt it well, and we use it well. And that is what Aaron is trying to do so far. So I would pause here and give it over to Arthur if there are any questions that you want to ask of in the community, any questions that they want to ask. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Manuel. For again, Sean, you can unmute yourself. And if you are also like, you would like to paste the question in the question in the comment section, you can just paste and read it out to the audience, and they will get to answer the question. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Yes, thank you. You're all welcome, right. Kim.
All right. My name is Nkem Osigwe. I work for African Library and Information Associations and Institutions, AFLIA, based in Accra, with headquarters in Accra, Ghana. And I got the information about this and I came in. I thank you for your presentation, Emmanuel. You know, from where I started listening, you know, I heard about the need for more buy-in across, buying into open science initiatives across Africa, and how maybe you go to some countries, a lot is happening, and in the other country, not so much is happening. And I'm wondering, how do you collaborate with other stakeholders in the sector, you know, or in this field? Are there people you're talking with? Are there people you wish to talk with, you know, to blow this all up? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. And Ken, so currently we are in discussions with a lot of groups across Africa, like AAU. And what Aaron has tried to do is, we don't want to work in isolation. So on our advisory board, we decided to have permanent positions for some groups across Africa, like AAU African Academy of Sciences, because we want to ensure that we are directly engaging in planning and discussions and everything concerning what we want to do. And we are always open to recommendations about groups and institutions that are across Africa that are looking to partner with us. So in our initial open call for community members to sign up, we had a lot of people reaching out to us via email about wanting to partner with us. So we begin discussions about how we can engage with their community. And I think the library consortium is one of the areas that we are quite interested in, because across various universities, these are usually the support staff that are into activities like open science, open research. And so we are quite interested in engaging with them. And we have noted down some groups that we are going to reach out to ensure that our activities are recognized across some of these organizations. And then they share the opportunities that we have, like training events that we have. Members can join and benefit from what we are trying to do and become part of our community. So yeah, we've already begun discussions with a number of groups, and we are hoping that we can have more groups come in to join us as collaborators and partners. So what Aaron has is that we have this something called the Stakeholder Engagement Group. So that tries to bring in all the various stakeholders across the African higher education system. So we could have the library consortia, the research support systems consortia, we could have the other specialized fields like, let's say, ASBCB, which is into computational biology and bioinformatics. So we are looking at how we can partner with all these groups, because these are existing science communities, right? They are already very good science communities, like Blockchain, the Internet Alliance. These are all existing communities of researchers. So we want to look at how we can partner with them, start discussions with them, and help us to reach out to their communities or members, so that they can take a major part in everything we're trying to do. And yeah, we also initially send out an open link. So when you go to our website, we have an open link where you can sign up to join our community. So it's open to everyone, regardless of your socialization. You could be a policymaker, you're open to join. So what we do is that we have this community participation model that allows various community members to come up with the innovations, whether it's local to their research or it's across Africa. So we are really, really an open book. We are an open group too, because RN is a community-led initiative. So Yes, we've begun discussions, and we're hoping that we can have more discussions going forward. Yeah.
Thank you very much again for the question. If we are still welcoming the question, but before going in further, we have also a few questions, so we'll just start with the first question. Emmanuel, we have the question like the first question is what key initiatives or projects is Allen planning to execute in order to promote open science in Africa?
Yeah, so in my initial delivery, I talked about the fact that we are interested in building local communities of practice, right? And to do that, we are trying to do it systematically. And I also noted the fact that we may not necessarily have experts that can lead the local community. So the initiative we are looking at right now is a training program for local network leads. That is quite important to us because it kind of sets the foundation for us to build across what we're trying to do in Africa. And we did an announcement within the week, so I'm hoping everyone here could follow us on Twitter or LinkedIn. So on Twitter, you can follow us on African Ripple and LinkedIn African Producing Network for updates about our training program. The program is designed to ensure that regardless of who you are, you can join, right? So and we are engaged with the global RN community, which has a lot of networks across Europe and South America and Canada and Australia. And we have this large pool of experts and resources that we're trying to rely on and bring the knowledge here. And we're also looking at locally organizations that have been doing so well in the open science domain, like Africa Archive and Africa OSH, like CC Africa, LibSense, and how we can also collaborate with them to do some of our training. So that is the initiative we are working on right now. The major one we're working on right now, we have other ones in the pipeline, but like I said, hiring was started much just last year in November, so we want to take things as stepwise as possible. We don't want to do everything at once. So just follow us on our LinkedIn pages and get the updates. But for now, we are focusing on the initiative, and it's quite important to us, like I said. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much for the great explanation. We are still taking the questions from the audience, if anyone has a question. Okay, I still have some list of questions. In the context of Africa, we know open science in Africa, we knew we are promoting, but we have now this kind of in context of African, so to promote open science. So what challenges do you think Allen can face?
Yeah, so like I was saying earlier, the difficulty is getting people to kind of lead this local initiative, right? It's not easy getting experts from certain parts of Africa. Whilst you have a lot of experts in other parts of Africa, and we want to establish the capabilities across institutions in Africa. So that's plenty. In a single country, you could have about 10 to 15 institutions in a single country. In various countries in Africa, it becomes a challenge because without a local lead who is an expert in open science, one way or the other, you can't kind of have these local initiatives and the team kind of collaborate all these activities in the ground because we need individuals there and the communities that are directly engaging the researchers and the institution, the organization. So that's one of the major challenges we have, and we are trying to solve that with our training program. We hope that we have a lot of people across from various disciplines and various institutions so that we can have a lot of local networks across these institutions and disciplines, and we can start activities and engage the researchers that are there. So that's one of the major challenges that we have with the health, and we're trying to solve that. And then another challenge would be, like I said earlier, researchers' perception of open science. Having a local network doesn't mean researchers will be interested in it, right? We are hoping we can clear that misconception and maybe engage in high-level discussions to make the concerns and requirements. Hopefully, that will change the perception about it. And also, through our activities at the local level, we can have these workshops that kind of sensitize researchers on the importance of open science and the benefits of open science. Because right now, we have funders that are setting preference, right? So, if funders are accepting preparations and getting the paper published to a journal, it can be a rigorous process. then and the idea of submitting your paper to a preprint becomes very, very unappealing, right? So we are hoping you can engage a lot of things in traditional conceptions that should have been more receptive to open science. And then we are also hoping, like I shared earlier, institutions can support what we are trying to do. So these are the few challenges we think we may face now. I am sure that as time progresses and we come up, we have a wonderful team that really come together to find solutions to this. And we have a wonderful advisory board to that try to advise us on how we can go about some of these issues that come up here.
Okay, thank you very much. And we have the question from the chat section. So before going to the question in this chat section, we just want to understand how does the ALIN plan to address or overcome these challenges, if you have some kind of winning solution. Please, you can unmute yourself.
So as I was saying, we are trying to solve some of these issues through training for the climate police, right? Because if you have people that are coming in to be trained, regardless of their specialization or experience in open science, it means they can kind of support their local communities. And if they have support systems at the universities, then that means the universities are encouraged to adopt open science policies because they know there are people in the institution that if they adopt these policies, they can provide support to the local community at the institution. But in the absence of this, universities may not be encouraged to establish policies because then with policies come implementation plans, and implementation plans, you let people about spearhead everything. But if you have a local network already, that means you already have a group of people that are already invested in open science, so they can spearhead any implementation plans that the university wants to establish. So the training program, the idea of getting people in, training them, and help getting them to establish a parameters and become a large part of a large community of open science advocates and practitioners kind of solve some of the major problems that is described in open science. There's now there's a support system, there's a literature center, can easily practice the principles. And whenever they have issues, then people they can tend to. And we also have them coming together to discuss solutions to the problem that exists within the institution or locality, and then the institutions also knowing that this exists here, they can get support from them too. So this is when I think what we are trying to do, we are embedded in all the solutions into what we are trying to do right now, our training program. So hopefully that goes out successfully, and we can see how it impacts the African research ecosystem here.
Great, that's great. And now we have the question from our participant, one of the participants. They say, is ARIN planning to stay on the continental scope, or will you set up regional, national, or local chapters like they exist in the UK or USA or other?
Yeah, thank you very much. So there is a plan to establish regional networks and then regional networks, but we are trying to do it from the grassroots level. So we are trying to start from the local level where we have local network leads at the institutions that are engaging with their local communities. Then this group of people, or some of them, can come together to form a national network. That is how the approach is when it comes to system. The policing network. So you have these various groups in the community coming up to set up national networks. And then when you have a number of national networks within a region, then they can come together to form a regional network. So yes, there are plans to do that, but we're trying to start from the bottom to the top, kind of build it from the ground so that we have people that are really invested in what we are trying to do, and they know exactly how we want to go about activities and initiatives in Africa. So yes, we do plan to go up to the regional level.
Thank you very much. Is any participant have some kind of question? All right. Now we can ask the final question from our side. Like, considering the diversity of research that you have to ensure inclusive compliance and practices.
Yeah, so I think I mentioned earlier that there's no size special approach to open science, right? Across disciplines, across institutions, across countries. You can't use the same solution for every part. So, and what we are trying to do, we are good at like the community If they'll be interested in starting more specific companies and communities, and these are things that are specialized in terms of the research domain, let's say biochemistry or the natural life and health sciences and things like that. Or we could zone down to, let's say, various specializations or sub-disciplines within the natural and life and health sciences. So there are plans to such communities like that, and we're already engaged in discussions with existing communities. I think I mentioned Swati earlier. What they are trying to do is to kind of establish the bridge between a field and what open science is trying to do in the field, or what the field needs in terms of open science. It's not going to be easy. It's a complex process, but when you have people and experts that well versed in what open science is and what open science is trying to achieve, we can bridge that gap between their specialization in open science. So we are trying to ensure that in our training program, we kind of make sure we have a diversity of disciplines, so that when we're having discussions, we would have different perspectives coming into the issues they think exist within their disciplines and how we can come up with solutions to solve these issues. And so that's one of the things we're trying to do. And then we also, like I said, have the plan to establish in specific open science communities. This is something that we've put across to our committee members. So we are looking forward to some of them coming up with ideas like that. Like I said, we are still trying to roll it out. And eventually, when we do, there will be the chance to kind of set up these communities across Africa and have various researchers in various disciplines joining those communities to learn about how open science is progressing within their field or discipline. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. So we are still welcoming the questions from the audience. So if there's no question, I might thank you very much, Emmanuel, and I welcome Joe to have a few comments. Joe, over to you. Okay, I think Joe is a little bit visual. So, okay, thank you for joining us in this webinar session. The recording on our website. You can also get the full details and register and for this ongoing webinar series at your africanarchive.org/webinars. I think most of the links you'll find it in the chat section. So this webinar series is organized by Ubuntu Net Alliance and access to best practices as part of the OKID Global Participation Program. Just a few recap. Our speaker today was Emmanuel Boake, and he's from African Interdisciplinary Network. We are looking forward to having you attend again.